You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This past week, we asked our listeners and our community online about their financial horror stories. Yeah. All right, maybe we're being a little cheesy, but we wanted to know how you've been tripped up, if there's a scam that got you or almost did. David Lazarus is the consumer columnist for the LA Times, and he's here to help untangle all of this. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much, Lizzie.
Obviously, we're going to get to your expertise in the matter, but I also want to play some stories from people who wrote us. The first one is from Nancy Harrison, and she wrote us about joining a financial partnership of sorts.
My husband is a chef, and he was offered a partnership. And the premise of the partnership was that he was a talent, and it was no buy-in because we had no money to buy half of a restaurant. So the person said, you know, you can walk away at any time, but if you stay, you'll get a piece of the profits and half of a restaurant and, you know, the prestige that comes. The chefs have a bit of an ego, although he would deny it, of owning half a restaurant. So they did this, and the restaurant was open for almost 3 years. But at the end of 3 years, it closed. And then we started getting bills from a bank that we had our mortgage with. And it was for a loan that we had never applied for. But apparently they had his signature. And as a partner, he was signed up for this loan that the bank would not forgive because they were saying, oh, you signed it. And so we had to take care of that. Then the guy was threatening us that he was going to sue us for half the business and lost profits and all this stuff. So I think that he didn't believe we would get a lawyer, but we did. And so far, it's all done.
David, I want to talk about what happened to Nancy and her husband. But it seems like there's also something very human that happened in this story where the entry point, the soft underbelly, if you will, is talent and ego and the desire to be successful at something that you love. How often does that come into play when you see people get scammed or make an unwise financial decision?
Well, it's common simply because you're playing to people's most vulnerable spot, and that's their ego. I think anybody who was listening to that will realize anytime you enter into any business relationship,
yeah,
especially
that partnership word. What was going on there?
Well, yeah, exactly. And what were the legal ramifications? And if you are an integral part of that, if you are indeed the talent, you want to protect yourself because you are going to be, well, the thing is going to sink or swim basically on you. And if it sinks, you want to protect yourself. And if it swims, you want to be riding that wave. So the idea that you're going to enter in any kind of relationship like that without a good, firm legal underpinning is to me a big red flag.
How do you protect yourself in advance if you are going to create a partnership or join forces with somebody?
When you enter any kind of relationship like that, you want to go in with your legal eyes open, which means somebody is going to be reading the paperwork, somebody's going to be offering some sort of legal advice, and someone is going to be making sure that your legal wagons are circled in case of any sort of trouble.
David, let's listen to another story that has all the seeds of a scam. And yet, Drew Alexander, who wrote this letter, managed to pull the plug before she got totally financially hooked. But man, what a story. Let's listen to this.
I opened a profile on OkCupid. I received a notification, an email from somebody, and he was a very attractive man. He wrote me an email and he said, I like your profile. So I responded. I said, I could send you a photograph. And long story short, he did ask a lot of questions about my family and if I'd ever been married before. And so we kind of opened up to each other. And then suddenly he wrote me a note and he said that he has to suddenly fly for business. Fast forward, I was coming home from work one day and I got a call on my cell phone. And it came up as a Nigerian call. And then I didn't pick up because I was kind of startled by it. And then I got another call right away after that said restricted. And he left me this voicemail that, in retrospect, I guess he didn't sound like he was Swedish. When I saw Nigeria, I immediately got suspicious. And because of the whole, you know, Nigerian email scams that have been going around. So I thought, that's weird. When I got home, I Googled OkCupid dating website scams. It opened up a floodgate of different sites. Apparently, I learned that this is a thing. And it's not like I thought this guy was really in love with me as much as I just could not believe I fell for it.
David, this is an amazing story to me. I mean, Drew did not go through with sending this guy any money, but other people have. There's a man in New York who sued OkCupid because he says he was scammed out of $70,000 by someone who was posing as someone else online. I wonder if the age of the internet and the amount of sharing that we do of little bits of ourselves makes people more vulnerable to scams.
What we're looking at here is a combination of scams and scamming techniques that are being used in a more sophisticated fashion. At the core of this is the old favorite, the Nigerian 411 scam.
Nigerian land scam, yep.
Where they're going to move a whole lot of money into your bank account. All you have to do is provide the details. Thank you very much. Now, thanks to the social media and the dating site aspect of this, we're seeing social engineering involved. And what that means is asking a lot of questions, finessing the victim so that he or she is going to give enough personal information that at the other end, they're able to start putting together a pretty thorough file on you, and suddenly they can do a pretty impressive job of identity theft.
I'm thinking about the kind of details you might reveal to someone if you were starting to have an online relationship with them. Say where you were born, your mother's maiden name, all of those things that are sometimes security questions.
Exactly. And then as more time passes, you're going to drop your guard even more and start giving out even more detailed information, such as your birth date. And that's a big one right there.
The flip side of this is that, you know, a lot of people date online, meet people online. How do you go about doing that, making sure that, you know, you're safe?
You know, there's pretty established protocols for this kind of thing. For example, at first, you're going to be trading emails back and forth. If you like the cut of the person's jib, maybe photos enter the equation. Gradually, you work yourself to face-to-face. Until you can actually sit face-to-face with somebody and get a sense of who they are and what they're looking for in life, you just don't know. And, you know, on the internet, like the old cartoon says, nobody knows you're a dog. And that's the thing. So you want to always approach every relationship online as if it is potentially a fraud until you have moved it offline.
You've been writing about these issues for a long time. Is there any thread, do you think, about the kinds of people who get scammed? Or are we all vulnerable to this just in different ways?
Well, Lizzie, of course we're all vulnerable because all of us have our weak spots, whether that's preying on our ego or our need for some sort of validation. But generally speaking, law enforcement authorities will say that the people who report being scammed the most are, first of all, seniors, because they're trusting by nature. They come from a more trusting generation. They also are looking for people to talk to, whether online or by phone, and that makes them susceptible to these kinds of things. And some folks might lack the financial savvy to be able to see the red flags when they appear. And then just you never know, because there's always some scam that comes along that presses people's buttons. I mean, just the other day, we saw the warning that there are scammers out there trying to raise funds to fight Ebola. And every time
Wow.
we see a thing like this, whether it was 9/11, whether it was this or that disaster, the scammers step up with these sorts of solicitations and they pull on your heartstring. They know this. And that's why you always, always want to do your due diligence. You want to check out any charity that's contacted you. You want to check out any nonprofit that has reached out to you. You want to make sure that who you're dealing with is who they say they are.
David Lazarus, the consumer columnist at the LA Times. Again, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.